From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Here we are, the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Rink Podcast with Ranger Proud. We got a live-looking episode, man. Blue shirts are in Minneapolis. Well, actually, St. Paul, Minnesota. Up there in the middle, the upper middle of the part of the country, down 2-0 as the start of the second period has just began about a minute ago. Nice win over the weekend, a couple of nice wins over the weekend versus the Devils, over the Winnipeg Jets on Sunday. But find themselves in a 2-0 hole right now. Got to kind of rebound and behind Alexander Gorkiev, who's in net tonight, so it'd be down 2-0, no real surprise. You kind of have to space out these goalies knowing that you're going to try to have to get something out of Shesterkin. You can't play him every game, and that's an ongoing theme all season long, man. Live-looking episode, Ranger Proud, and Glenn's with us. Ring Podcast with RP, Ranger Proud, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and, of course, Empire Sports Media and Forever Blue Shirts. RP, we got Glenn with us. We're going to be on here for 30 minutes only. We got a game to watch. We're down 2-0, man. What you seeing in this live looking? I like the live looking.
I thought the first goal Gorgiev definitely should have had. The second goal was a deflection. The Rangers are skating good, but they're just not getting shots. Once in a while, they fall into that rut of just not getting shots on goal. So, they didn't look like they were playing bad. Just what they got two plays where the Wild took advantage of mistakes and both pucks went up in the net.
All right. And we'll talk about this game as it happened. It's better energy for the Wild home base versus the Jets. The Jets were taken totally out of the game. That crowd is usually loud, and the Rangers did a good job on Sunday, quieted them on Sunday night. Glenn, what's up, man? And what's your thoughts of what you saw through period number one as the Blue Shirts are down 2-0?
Well, I agree with RP. I thought the first goal Georgiev should have had. The second one was a deflection. You can't do much about that. But here we go again. Another Georgiev start, another 2-0 deficit after the first period. I thought the play was a little frenetic, a lot of turnovers, a lot of back and forth, not a lot of structure, a lot of scrambling around on both sides. Didn't think the Rangers played badly. The one bad goal and then the other one. They're not getting enough shots, like RP said. Hopefully they can get a power play to kind of spark them a little bit. But, we're early on, and this team is very resilient, and we got a long way to go, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you're right, guys. The energy's a little off this evening as far as the Blue Shirts. The turnovers are a little sloppy of the puck. I know they've been trying to correct that a little bit. I think they did a fairly decent job in the last two games prior versus the Devils and the Jets. Now they just got to put it together. We've seen a lot of evidence this season, RP, that as the game goes more, deeper into the game, the Blue Shirts do play better. But we have Gorkiev in the net, so I'm going to take that with a grain of salt. But I guess they had to kind of do it because you want to have him available in the next two road games as far as Shesterkin. But as far as tonight, they had a very solid win. I'm hoping that was not a letdown coming into St. Paul versus the Wild, where a lot of guys are returning home. A lot of guys, a lot of Rangers, from the state of Minnesota, especially playing their either high school or collegiately. What is your thoughts, RP, as far as which lines are you looking at now with Gauthier and Gaudreau? Which ones you're paying attention in particular in the second period? I mean, I of course, all of them, but which ones you want to see kind of step it up?
Well, this is a game where you need Kreider and Banajad and Lafreniere to absolutely step it up. I'd like to see Panarin getting some more offensive production. He seems to be in a even though he's having a good season, he seems to be a little bit off his game. And I just see him, you know, obviously find his game back and start getting those assists and making those great passes and goals. Strome's been really quiet. I don't know if that's a hidden result of bad contract negotiations, trade rumors, or he's just in a slump. So it's kind of hard to tell with that. Obviously, the third line you're always watching because they just – the third line seems to be the Rangers' weak link this season. I don't know. The players are playing hard. It just doesn't seem to be happening. Keitel just can't find a consistent offensive role in his game. Gauthier's being in and out of the lineup. And it's just things that, you know, are showing. Goudreau's a solid, hardworking player all the time. He's playing his game, but sometimes it just seems like he's alone there. So I just think as a unit, as a whole four-line unit, they just have to take it a shift at a time. I mean, the Rangers get the next goal here, and it's a different hockey game, and they have the scoring power to do it. And, you know, this thing with Gorgiev, he has to play, guys. You just can't play Shesterkin the entire way.
Right,
no matter
right.
who you're playing, you try to put him into games where you think he succeeds and can do well. Tonight was sort of a trap game for that because Minnesota is 2-8 in their last 10. They do to have a good hockey game, a solid hockey game. They're playing at home, so I don't think it was much as an easy game for Gorgiev. I don't think there are many easy games in the NHL. But he's got to play, and he's got to be productive. So there's a goal for the Rangers right now. Beautiful play by
right.
Strom.
Down one.
Beautiful Strom over to to Hunt. So there's a goal back five minutes into the period, 6 minutes into the period. So that changes the whole game around, gives those guys a bunch of confidence. A beautiful pass by Strom on a 2-on-1 there. But this is what they need to do. They just have to keep playing their game. They're a good hockey team. They really are. And I don't think they ever get down. I don't think they ever feel that they're out of a hockey game. And, at this point, it can't matter who's in goal behind you. You guys have to play your style of game and take advantage, and that's what they did right there.
Let's get a parade for the 5-on-5. Let's go to Glenn.
Yeah. you're right. I tell you something. They're a really good 5-on-5 team. You've seen that the last three games now. Gallant's been hopping on that. You know, don't take the stupid penalty. They took too many penalties in Winnipeg. Way too many penalties in Winnipeg. That was the critique to a win. I think they took 6 or 7 penalties, which you don't get away with, as good as their penalty killing is. And I think here they have to keep driving hard into the corners, keep moving their feet, because Minnesota is a horrible penalty-killing team, and the Rangers really need to get that power play opportunity to get the team jump-started. So, you know, it's a typical hockey game. You're in the middle. You're in the last 26 games of the season. They're in a great spot playoff-wise, but there's still a lot of things they got to keep working on to keep getting better.
And the irony, what you said before we go to Glenn, the irony we were just saying as far as where Strome and Panarin's got to play player. Well, they were all affected in that play to get that goal back. They cut it to one.
Oh, correct.
Nice pass by Panarin to Strome on the Hunt. So, yeah, I guess they heard you loud and clear quickly, too, RP. Glenn.
another 2-on-1 with Panarin and Strome. They couldn't get the shot. But it's the kind of team guys that they have the lines that can generate the offense. And sometimes they just got to put their heads down and do their job. Literally, it's that simple. You know, the scoring part, you have to come out there and play your hockey game and not get sloppy on the blue line, and good things happen. And they have a pretty good jump to start of the spirit.
Right on. Glenn, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, well, as you said, it's obvious that they are listening to this podcast on the bench during the game.
on their tablet.
You know, I wish it was that easy, right? As RP was saying, Georgiev's got
to
play.
Glenn, say something else to speak into his distance.
No,
to get another goal. No, I was just saying, say something else, get another goal and speak into his distance.
Yeah, right? It's hard multitasking here. I'm trying to keep my ears on you guys and my eyes on the game, and I'm probably not going to do a good job at either, but I'm going to do my best. You got to play Georgiev. And actually, I read something that kind of surprised me. Shesterkin had played 36 out of 56 games, so that means Georgiev has already played 20 games, and I don't know why it seemed like Shesterkin has played more games, but it is about what you would expect it to be. And, you know, I also read today that Gallant has said, you know, we're monitoring the minutes and we got everything under control, and, you know, so they know what they've got to do. I think tonight was the game to have Georgiev start. You could have started him in Winnipeg, but then you'd have, you know, Shesterkin playing the next three. So I think this was the game for him to start. I was kind of happy to see that he was in goal. And they're going to have to do that down the stretch because, you know, I also read that Shesterkin has now played the most games he's ever played in a regular season. And we still got a way to go and hopefully a lot of games to go in the playoffs. So now we're going to start getting into uncharted territory with Shesterkin. And, I mean, I think he'll be fine. You know, he had a couple of stretches where he got some rest when he was injured. And, you know, they had the two-week layoff in February. So I don't think he's, you know, really overtired or overworked as much as you might be at this point in the season. So I think we'll be okay with that. But, you know, that's something to keep an eye on. As far as the team, I'm happy to see. Last week I had mentioned that when they went down 2-0 against Vancouver, I kind of felt them sag a little bit, which we hadn't seen that happen much this year. And then 2-0 became 4-0, and the game got out of hand. And tonight down 2-0 again after the first period, but they're showing that resilience that we're more used to seeing with them. You know, I want to mention one thing about the St. Louis game. You know, those three quick goals at the end of the second period, they go down 3-2. I think Shesterkin was more stunned by that than Ranger fans were even. He kind of stayed in the crease for a minute after the period ended. But that didn't, again, that didn't get them down. They came out flying in the third period, got the three goals, and beat, you know, a good team who had a rough trip to New York, but they beat a good team. So I'm happy again tonight to see they go down 2-0. They don't let it get to them, you know, and they're very much in this game. Hopefully, like we said, they get a couple of power plays. Minnesota's penalty kill has not been very good. The team has not been going very good. You kind of, you know, if they can tie it up or get a 3-2 lead, you know, you get them Minnesota kind of questioning themselves again, and, you know, they could be on their way. So I'm happy to see the way they've come out in the second period here, and it's, you know, what we've been used to this year.
Yeah, I'm glad you answered that question for yourself, Glenn, about Shesterkin. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
You kind of answered that as far as, you know, your concerns of him playing a full season. So you think he's going to be fine, I mean, I guess the remaining 20-plus games, right?
Yeah, I mean, what do we got? It's played 56, so we got 26 games left. I mean, he'll probably get, you know, if they keep going along the way that they've been going, 18 to 19 starts, and that's over, you know, another 6-week period. I don't think that's too much. And I think that, you know, like I said, it was fortunate that they had that 2-week break. He was out a couple of times, so he hasn't really, you know, been overworked.
Oh, shorthanded goal, what a beauty. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off. That was a great play.
Yep,
nice.
That's it. No, that's right. Actually, you're a little ahead of me because I got direct TV, so.
Oh, I apologize.
No, that's fine. No, that's fine.
I didn't realize that.
No, I was able to stop listening to you guys and watch the game for a minute to see the goal. That was fine.
if you watch the replay, there were two penalties the Rangers took they got away with. A cross check in our end on a rebound, and then Zibanejad. He didn't really hook Zuccarello as much as they're saying. He went inside and lifted his stick up. That wasn't a hook.
Zuccarello blew a tire, man.
But you want to know something? I kind of understand where the coach is ticked off, because I've seen other games when they've touched the glove of the player with the tip of their stick and they've called it hooking. So on that one, you could see why their coach was a little irate, and also because they're 1-for-20 in the last 7 games and on the power play and just gave up a shorthanded goal. So, but there you go, guys. We were talking about lines. And so, you know, it's just a matter of
He's speaking into his the Rangers. Say something about the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, really?
No. That's crazy.
Steve, I mean, it's obvious to listen to the podcast on the bench. Forget the half hour. We got to be on till the end of the game.
Man, we might be on the rest of the season.
It just shows you, what I like about this team, which we haven't seen in a couple of years, is that resiliency. Like, they never feel that they're out of a game. They know they have the scorers on the team, which we haven't had in so many years, if you really think about it. But there's a goal right back. So, sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
That was them running around getting caught. That was just because they couldn't clear the puck.
Yeah, nothing you could do about it there. Yeah.
I mean, Gauthier had absolutely no play on that at all.
Yeah.
But, again, you need to tighten up on defense if you're so concerned about the goalie's confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
these
guys have goal scorers on that team, too. Nothing is crummy. There aren't many crummy teams. And here, look, everybody's on one side of the ice. All four Rangers are low to the right of Gauthier. You know, Miller's got a nose behind them. Truba's there. Everyone's all over the place. He's got Brandinsky killing, which I'm happy to see, but right after you tie it up, I don't think I'd have Brandinsky killing penalties there when you have Kreider.
Yeah, that was.
Rome. You have other guys that could be out there. That's the balance beam between learning experience and giving up a goal right when you came back from 2-0 down.
That was the issue on that PK, RP.
You nailed it with Brzezinski. He didn't clear the puck, and that's it kept it alive.
He didn't clear the puck, and why are all four guys on the right side of goal game? I know Miller wants to go after him because the rebound's there, but Troop is right there too. You got to know they have a man advantage. Someone's going to be open, and a puck goes right to him. That's just a breakdown on the blue line. When they look at the video, it's an easy one. Now they just got to come back again. They just got to keep playing their game.
Yeah, I'm confident. Glenn, anything else you'd like to say? Go ahead.
No, you know, it's funny. We talk about how they play in front of Georgiev and how they play in front of Shesterkin. They play, feel like we played differently. And it's kind of funny. I remember going back, when Henrik was in goal, and, we had obviously Cam Talbot and Antti Raanta, and it almost seemed like they played a more defensive, tighter game when the backup was in than they did when Henrik was in, because it was kind of like in the back of their head, they kind of, Henrik's back there. If we make a mistake, he'll cover for us. And I mean, I think they feel the same way about Shesterkin, but it seems like they play better when Shesterkin is in net than Georgiev is. So it's almost like the opposite of how it used to be, I just keep going back and forth with Georgiev. I feel bad for him. That Vancouver game, I said, well, a guy hasn't played in a month, but I just keep going back and forth that it just seems like he never makes the big save when we need it. I don't know if that's my imagination or what, but, not that he's a terrible goalie, but it seems like he always gives up one bad goal game, and he never makes the big save like Shesterkin does. I mean, I'll go back to that St. Louis game. Shesterkin gave up those three goals quick in like 3 or 4 minutes at the end of the period. They're down 3-2. And he's a brick wall after that. You could tell that he was like, they're not getting another one. And he allowed the team to get back in the game.
The other way to look at that, though, is sometimes I think the Rangers play the same way in front of Gauthier as they do in front of Shesterkin, but Shesterkin bails them out when they make those mistakes.
It could be right.
If you read the comments after Ranger games, right, Steve Alliquette and the beat writers, and it's always, not always the same story, but a lot of times, well, Shesterkin stood on his head today, like we used to say all the time with Lundqvist. Yeah. And I think the difference is when the Rangers make a mistake, great job, Shesterkin makes that big save or makes that unbelievable save to keep the game close when Gauthier just hasn't. Sometimes when you really break it down, the Rangers make a lot of fundamental mistakes at the worst possible times.
Yeah.
Like they like to just run and gun like they're doing now in Minnesota. But sometimes with the run and gun, the defensemen kind of run a little bit wild. Sandra Miller will be taking more chances. And before you know it, it's a 2-on-1 or a bad rebound in front of the net because the center has to come back to help with the defense. And Shesterkin makes that save, and you're like, oh, what a great save. That was incredible. You're like, did he really need to make that save if they're playing fundamental hockey? And I think that's where they need to really start to clean their game up heading in the direction of the playoffs. Because other teams are going to cut them apart. They keep making these mistakes. You can't expect Shesterkin to win 4 out of 7 every round covering up for all these errors. And you see that tonight. 2 of the 3 goals were just total defensive breakdowns. You can't do that. At this part of the season, I don't expect to see that. You can play run-and-gun hockey, but you have to still play your position. You have to still play the system, even though it's not a main system with Gallant. But you still have to play that defensive game to keep the puck out of the net. And I think a lot of times, Shesterkin covers up the mistakes.
Yeah, and that's where you get in trouble in the playoffs, too. When every game is 2-1, 3-2, one bad play costs you a game. And you can't afford to do that. And they do that a lot. But, because of Shesterkin and because, the scoring that they do have on the power play, they get away with it. But, you're not going to get away with it in the playoffs against good teams, experienced teams, and every game is 2-1, 3-2, one play, and you lose the game. So I have confidence, though, that Gallant will tighten them up. I think he's a good enough coach that he knows what the playoffs are going to be like, and hopefully he'll be able to execute, what he asked them to do. So I'm looking for that to kind of get better as we come down the stretch here.
Yeah, and more of the case of what I've been saying, or I think, RP, you agreed, as far as the veteran defenseman at the trade deadline in a couple of weeks. So if you get that guy and put him on that third pairing, I'd probably be more confident in anything with the combination of defensemen we have and also the forwards that play defense and then on top of that, the goalie. I've seen enough one goal games in this year that I'm not necessarily worried, honestly. I would like to take our chances, just add a piece here or there at the trade deadline, especially when it comes to a veteran defenseman, because obviously you can see, even in the PK situation, bad breakdowns because of just misplayed by a younger defenseman. I just would put it like this, when it comes to Shesterkin. I don't know if you guys noticed it, but it doesn't happen every game. But it seems like, for whatever reason, he's always getting hit. And it's not intentional, but that kind of worries me. And that's kind of how he's gotten onto the injured list. It seems like it happens once every 2 weeks-ish. And that's a lot for me. I mean, goalies, you play the puck. He's always out there outside of the circle. But even sometimes in the circle, it just finds like he's in the wrong – I wouldn't say he's in the wrong place or at the wrong time. He just seems like he's always colliding or somebody's always colliding with him. And it's happening more often than not. I would be worried about that as well, because I think that happens a little bit too much, even for him.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how he was on the injury list earlier in the year. I don't know if you guys had a thoughts about that when you're watching these games when Shesterkin is in that.
Shesterkin would have stopped this one. Jesus.
Yep.
Two bad goals. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, hey, it is what it is.
But either poke check or step to the left. He just doesn't make that big save, you know?
No.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you got to throw somebody. You got to throw him in there somewhere, you know?
You have to play him 100%. You have to play him. But I tell you what, the trade deadline is a week from tonight, and the Rangers are going to have to make a decision if this is going to be the guy to back up Shesterkin or not. Because the problem with that is if he's not, you got to make a trade for another goalie.
Mm-hmm.
You can't bring a guy up from the minors now and say, okay, play 10 games in the next 20 or play, 7 in the next 13. It's not right to your minor league goalie either. You expect too much. The Rangers are sort of putting themselves in a bad spot by waiting and trying to figure out what they want to do with Gorgiev, because this just is he just doesn't make that big save, like you were saying earlier. Mm-hmm. When that's the save, you really, in a 3-2 game, they have some momentum going. And another thing, guys, that I've noticed, their PK is not as strong as it was. They dropped down to 7th, and they gave up one tonight already. They were 4th for the longest time, and that's sliding down. And I don't know if that's the team being more aggressive on the penalty kill, looking for shorthanded goals, or what? But it's like you keep saying, a lot of things they got to start really starting to fine tune a little bit and figure out the kinks now, because it's showing. But between now and next Tuesday, the Rangers got to decide what they're doing with Gorgiev. Are they signing Strom? Are they going to get that big? You know, what's more important, the fifth pair defenseman or a top six forward? Because something's up with Kako. Not that he was scoring a lot, but when he played with Panarin and Strom, they were just playing better as a unit on the second line. And I don't know if he's got a dislocated shoulder or a problem, but this little injury, I think we're in our fifth week now, you're going to have to give him a couple of games to get back in the game shape as it is.
Right.
So there's just a lot of uncertainty going on right now. There's just a lot of uncertainty for a team that's playing so well and it's sitting in third place and is sixth or seventh in the NHL. This team has a lot of question marks, which is it's kind of unusual to say they're playing so well, but they could be playing so much better if they just get a little fine-tuning. You know, you keep hearing a lot, you know, maybe Mark Giordano comes over from Seattle. He's a UFA, but where do you put him? How do you put Giordano on the fifth, sixth defensive pair? It's almost like a waste of trade for him. He's not going to get any ice time. Not what you expect out of a Mark Giordano coming over. You're not going to move Kadri Miller down to the fifth line. So sometimes I'm thinking getting that big defenseman today, right now, there is no fit. But any good defenseman that you're really looking for to make the team better isn't going to get the ice time to make the team better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to play with Schneider. That's why I think they're leaning on hopefully Nemeth comes around. He's been really struggling since he had the COVID, and they said that's a big reason to why his game's off. He's never a top D-man. He's always been a fifth, you know, kind of defenseman. Mm-hmm. So I just don't know where that direction comes from. But something's got to be addressed. And what's weird about it is the longer it goes, I think the harder it gets for a team like the Rangers. Because everyone knows the potential that they have. Who wants to make them better?
Yeah.
So we put them in a spot, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll talk about the trade picture a lot next week because the deadline will be coming up. You know, I looked around the league. There are a bunch of teams where Georgiev would be an upgrade if they traded for him. So there are places to move him to, probably about seven or eight that I noticed. Mm-hmm. So if they decide they want to do that, you know, maybe they get, you know, a solid type defenseman that you're not going to play top minutes like a Giordano. I mean, you know, I mean, they could use a Nemeth type of guy. If Nemeth was, you know, in better shape, maybe, you know, after the COVID and everything. So, I mean, he could be adequate enough. I don't know. But, you know, somebody like him who you know, you can pair with Schneider, who's going to be a solid veteran defenseman. And there are places they can go. I mean, Montreal might be one place because I don't know what's going to happen with Carey Price with his knee and everything. But I saw some rumors around about Ben Chiarot, you know, maybe coming to the Rangers. And, again, we'll talk about all of this next week. But there are places to move Georgiev to at the deadline where he'd be an upgrade from what the teams have, and maybe they could pluck a defenseman, you know, from one of those teams. And you know, thing I was going to mention, I want to mention one thing that RP said, mentioned it before. This would be fine. I think Kako being out hurt has affected both Strom and Panarin. You know, I mean, Dryden Hunt's a nice player, but he's not a top six. And, you know, that might have just thrown the chemistry off a little bit, too. Not that Kako was producing a lot, but, you know, that line seemed to be kind of settled. And it seems like since he's been out, you know, a lot of Panarin's precision passes are getting blocked. Strom's been a little off his game. So, you know, I wonder when he comes back if that might pick up. The one thing I worry about is, you know, wrist injuries can be a little funny. So, you know, even if he does come back and he's in game shape, you know, we'll have to see what he can do with that wrist when he comes back. But anyway, looking forward to talking next week about the trade deadline. We'll see if something happens before that. But that one should be a lot of fun.
That should be. Shout out to Glenn and RP. Second period with you guys, or final thoughts, anything coming down the pipe? And then we'll wrap up.
No, I tell you, coming down the pike, just waiting for this trade deadline or a Strom extension or maybe even a Strom trade. I really don't see the Rangers letting Strom walk away. Mm. I don't think that benefits anybody. So if they don't think they can get him signed in the next week, you might see Strom get traded, which would totally screw up the chemistry. But from a business standpoint, you can't do what Columbus Blue Jackets did that year, you know, when Bobrovsky walked away and Panarin. You can't do that. You can't go with the hope that you're going to win the Stanley Cup and then you don't mind losing the player. You have to get draft picks or players to come in. I don't see how that benefits anyone. So, you know, at this point, the Rangers make a couple of trades, and you kind of know what's going on with Strom one way or another. But it's going to be an interesting 7 days in the NHL as a whole, not just with the Rangers. But some moves are going to be made to get this team in position to make a deep run into the playoffs, not just this year, next year.
Yeah, you know, after shouts to Ranger Proud, and of course Glenn and myself, the live looking episode versus the Wild. Listen, I'm actually looking forward to another big game with the Blues. That, you know, basically two in like eight days, and you know we're going to see how we stack up again on the road versus a team that's been playing very well. And we responded very well last Wednesday versus them. It's been pretty much good hockey. I know we're nitpicking and we can always get better, and I totally understand that. But the light of our speed is on display tonight. Some of the hockey trying to recover from the early goals with the deflection and the cheaper. It happens with your backup goalie or this particular backup goalie. But I'm not necessarily worried. But yeah, we are anxious to see what they're going to do at the trade deadline. RP Glenn will be back next Tuesday. This game's probably going to get out of hand by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Hey, you know, if he wants to play, he's got to play better. I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's got to play. That's just another bad goal. I know. Look at that angle. I mean, what is he doing going down?
He can only put
the puck one place on his backhand. Is upstairs. But the middle's all clogged up, and he goes down. He goes low. And
man,
the puck went right over.
That's what I love about this platform, because not only do we talk in between games or immediately after the games, I mean, we're in the dead middle of the game, and the highs and a lot of the lows we can react to in real time with our eyes as the notes. We don't have to wait to the post game. We don't have to wait to the next episode. It's right in our faces. We can honestly react to what we're seeing. And damn, man, I mean, this is a bad ending to the second period on the live looking versus the Wild.
Steve, if they come back and win this game, are we back on at 10:30? Do we regroup and come back?
I don't see that happening, but if they do,
I don't either.
Post game to the live looking. I know, right?
Yeah.
All right, shout out. RP, Glenn, Morrell, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. Hopefully you guys have a good third period. Try to make up the deficit in St. Paul, Minnesota. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.